Thank you, Mary. Thank you, David, and everyone at CLMP and the New School for this opportunity. Welcome. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Really happy to see you here. We have two wonderful literary agents, and we're sure Diana is going to join us pretty quickly. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up on what we're thinking in terms of format. We would love to open up the floor for questions. So what we thought we'd do is sort of go through in detail sort of the anatomy of a pitch. And then I will specifically ask each of the agents, you know, the do's and the don'ts, and we'll sort of make it fun and not so scary. And then we'll have enough time for all your questions. Please feel free to ask questions. There's no stupid question, I promise you. Well, welcome again. So my name is Priya Doraswamy. I'm a solo agent. I operate out of a little cave in New Jersey, also known as my home. And, you know, it's sort of an I, me, and myself agency. I do all sorts of fiction and nonfiction books, mainly adult. I don't do children's work. So that's a little bit about me. I'm delighted to introduce Grace. Grace and I met a couple of years ago at the AAR, and we've been friends since then. So Grace Roth, she's at Regal Hoffman & Associates, and she is interested in literary fiction, historical fiction, memoir, wow, you brave thing, and narrative nonfiction. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Oh, I hope you guys are having a good morning. I've already managed to spill coffee on me twice, which you guys might have just seen earlier, but it's such a pleasure to be here. I guess I'll just add a little bit more about myself. I'm one of six agents at Regal Hoffman, and we do a spread from kind of children's middle grade all the way through adult fiction, nonfiction. We tend to be a little bit more literary. Some of the bigger books were known for Time Traveler's Wife, which you guys might have heard of, as well as Shantaram, Gregory David Roberts, Jim Reston, who did Frost Nixon. We have a fun zombie book that did quite well called Warm Bodies, Scott Pilgrim, etc. I've been there for a couple of years. Before that, I was with Denise Shannon, who was quite a small boutique shop, just me and her, and she did quite literary fiction. And before that, I spent a little over a year and a half at Oxford University Press working in editorial. So delighted to be here and looking forward.
Thank you. The next panelist is Serene Hakim. She's at the Ayesha Pandey Literary Agency, and she and Serene is passionate about young adult fiction, nonfiction with international themes, yay, and LGBTQ and feminist issues. Serene?
Hi. My name is Serene. I work at Ayesha Pandey Literary. It's also six agents. Actually, I have a very similar trajectory to Grace. We're very, you know, I guess mid-size agency, literary bent. We also start with middle grade and go up to adult, nonfiction, a wide range from, you know, very literary to commercial thrillers, you know, that sort of thing. I've been there for just over 3 years, and before that I was in Boston. I worked for Laura Gross, who was also a one-woman shop. It was just the two of us in her house. And my background, I studied French, actually, so nothing to do with that now. That's it. Very excited to be here. Thank you.
Great. So I just wanted to get a sense of the audience today. How many of you are debut writers? Oh,
yay.
That's fantastic. Okay, good. So I just wanted to figure out how to sort of, you know, maneuver the session today. So this is great news. Okay, so I'm going to start with when you have a finished manuscript. And, of course, there's a difference between fiction and nonfiction. As some of you might know, if you're writing fiction, you need to have the fully finished manuscript before you start querying. You cannot and should not submit half-written fiction work. With nonfiction, it's a completely different story, and we could perhaps break that up. How many of you are nonfiction writers in here? Okay, so why don't we sort of do fiction, and then we'll get to nonfiction too, so then you'll have an idea of what it entails. With nonfiction, I can just briefly tell you that agents and publishers are happy to take work on proposal, and what that means is you don't need to have a fully finished manuscript, but you do need to have a proposal, which is equally painful and tough to do. But anyway, so let's just go through the general sort of you know, what to do and what not to do, and then we can branch into the more nonfiction area. We'll also break up the session today into written pitches and pitches at conferences. So, for example, today you guys are here, tomorrow you're here. When you see a literary agent, you know, how do you approach them? What is the good thing to say? What is a not so good thing to say? And that's always helpful. Okay, so what to know before you approach an agent? Number one, make sure you have a fully finished manuscript if it's fiction. And if you're writing nonfiction, make sure you have a fully finished proposal. Know your genre of the manuscript. Grace, could you sort of talk through the idea of what does it mean to know the genre?
Well, it really means know your audience, who your reader is. You know, even if your reader was going to rock into a bookstore, I mean, I know there are not that many, but say a Barnes & Noble or an indie, where would they find your book on the shelves? In what section? It's really important because especially for fiction and nonfiction as well, but that's going to be how you define your book, not only in terms of what we call comparable titles or competitive titles, which mean what other books are in your genre or your market that you can compare your book to in terms of similar readers, similar sales, that kind of thing. But it's going to depend on, for an agent, like who we will think of when we submit your book, how in terms of, you know, where to place your book, how to pitch it. Different genres require slightly different kinds of pitches, especially if you're looking at thrillers versus mysteries or romance. Literary fiction tends to be just this amorphous big category that's slightly different, and I'd be happy to go into that a little bit more. But especially even with nonfiction, it's just really helpful for us to know at least what you think of, and especially other writers that you think you might be in line with.
Thank you. Sari?
Well, I just want to add, in terms of like querying also, it helps to accurately describe your genre, because you might send me something and then say, this is romance. And I said, well, I don't do romance, so I'm not really going to look at it. But maybe it's not. It's just, you know, literary fiction with a very strong romantic element, which is an entirely different thing that I might be open to. So in addition to thinking of just what it is and, you know, where it fits in the market, it's also how you frame it to the agent you're trying to approach.
So sort of leading from there, there's so many subgenres, and it's super confusing, right? Upmarket women's fiction, rom-coms, chick lits. I mean, it's crazy. So would you recommend Googling, because I do it all the time, so.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to say I usually tend to ignore in my authors who query me what they suggest that their genre is, just because they tend to not be quite accurate. So yeah, I would suggest taking your best stab and Googling, but if you're not sure, the more general your category is, the like less, like I, you know, if you just say, I don't represent romance, for example, if you say romance, I'm going to pretty much immediately dismiss that. So if you're like Serene says, you know, if you're thinking maybe there are other elements there and like other genre elements that might be there, say there's a little bit of suspense or maybe it might be kind of a mystery trajectory, you know, talk about those as well. Don't peg yourself as one category if you're not 100% sure. Now, if you know what your genre is, please tell us, because it is helpful.
Yeah, I mean, and just to add to that, I don't mind having an even more specific description of it. If you're not 100% sure, I'd rather you say, like, this has romantic elements or this has a lot of suspense and is very reminiscent of whatever, rather than just blanket. It's just mystery. Like, okay, well, tell me a little bit more and then I'll know going into it what it is.
Oh, our question's okay right now. Could we, do you mind if we do it at the end, just because we'll have that? And we'll definitely get to you. Sorry, is that okay? Okay. Okay. All right, so we know our genre. We have our book that needs to be submitted. Okay. Step number three, looking at agent websites. And in my opinion, I think this is the absolutely most important task that all you debut writers have to do. So I'm just going to sort of hand it over there to ask more specific questions about why writers need to look at agents' websites.
We put everything that you need to know about us on there in terms of what we represent and how best to contact us. Now, there's other ways to find out what we're interested in, like Twitter or whatever, you know, but go to that website. It'll say, this is what I'm looking for. Sometimes people will say, this is not what I'm looking for. It kind of depends. But for me, the most important thing is, this is how you submit to me. And if you don't follow those guidelines, I'm going to be grumpy about it. So, you know, they're there for a reason. I think it's the best place for you to start.
Absolutely. I agree with everything. But also, you know, if you're submitting to a larger agency, it's also helpful to look at the different bios on the website of the different agents so you can submit to the right agent. Maybe you thought you wanted to submit to one agent, you go to the website and you realize, oh, actually, maybe there's a different agent that might be a better fit. It's much more productive to submit directly to one agent at a larger agency. I know that we get quite a few at Regal Hoffman. There's six of us, quite a few just to Regal Hoffman and Associates. And those just tend to get kind of lost because it's like, got to wait around until somebody, probably the intern, takes a look at it to figure out, well, who it might be for. And you're not kind of, you know, it's really on the writer. It's on you guys to kind of figure out who you think might be the best fit. If we like it and realize it might be better for a colleague, we'll share it with them. So there's no harm in really submitting directly to one agent. Please don't submit to more than one agent at a time. At an agency, it's annoying for us. Hint.
I think knowing the agent's website and looking at their social media, if they have Twitter, Facebook, you know, just to really and I would say sit with it for a couple of days, right? Like, let's say you've read a book recently that you think is pretty similar to what you're writing. Go to the acknowledgments page. 99% of the times, which is wonderful. Authors always acknowledge their agents, their editors, you know. So that's a really nice way for you to do your homework. If you've loved the book, you've loved everything about it, you know, you're like, oh, I should totally, you know, query this agent. So that's a really important thing to do. And it's exactly what Grace said. When you go to the Barnes & Nobles or even online Amazon, you should be able to get some, you know, some detailed information about specific agents.
Can I add?
Yeah.
So, you know, we mentioned looking on social media. Like, I use Twitter a lot, and we'll use that hashtag MSWL for manuscript wishlist, and I think a lot of other agents use it whenever there's something specific that I'm looking for, and so that's really helpful. Sometimes they can be, like, very specific, but it's a good place to start, and there's also a website for that with a database of people that you can search. Not everyone is on there, but it's a good option. And just Googling the agent, like, sometimes an old interview that I did will show up, and that talks about what I'm looking for. And so it's nice to see, because we have a section on our submissions form that says, why did you choose us? And so I like to see that you did your research and say, hey, I saw you were really looking for, you know, this type of book. I think mine fits the bill. I hope you like it.
Just to kind of add on to that, I take note, I think a lot of agents take note, if we can see an author who's querying us has done their research on us, mentioned one of our current authors or something we said somewhere. I'm not on Twitter, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there in the universe about me and most of the agents. So we really do take note. I always kind of pay special attention when I know it's been personalized. It makes us feel nice, and so that's a recommendation.
Thank you. And following that thought, you know, there are different opinions about this, and obviously, you know, you should do what works for you best, but polling other agents and other conversations, and, you know, I'd be interested to see what these two ladies have to say. The question is, should you do a mass mailing sort of query, right? You know, you've got the list of, I don't know, 500 agents, and you're like, I have my coffee, I'm ready to go. So.
And I'll say specifically for us, we have a form that if you go to our website under queries, you select who you want to submit to, and then you fill out the sections. And when you don't do that, it just goes into this inbox. We have, like, labels that automatically appear. And so when yours goes this other way, it just gets – it doesn't filter correctly, and then I can't look at it, and then it's not going to the right person, and it's really a pain. So don't do it.
Yeah, we've actually just recently switched to Submittable, so you can't mass query us anymore. But I do know there's some really funny chains where an author has decided to, like, email, like, 60 agencies. Yeah. And every once in a while, one agent will get back to that author and just say, no one will ever represent you if you do this. And it's like, so don't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think it's okay to, like, talking about, you know, creating, like, what we call, like, rounds of submission. When we put together our submission list to editors, I think it's absolutely great if you find a list of agents that you think fit. There are hundreds of us. So do put together a list. You know, and try to target them personally. And it's okay if you can't find something personal about an agent. A really well-written query also goes a really long way. You know, when we recognize that, all we ask, I mean, at least for me, is I want it to look professional. I want it to look, you know, with a salutation, you know, with a nice opening. You know, I'd much rather that than something that's kind of vague about the agency if you just keep it simple. And I, you know, encourage you to do it in rounds, honestly. Mm-hmm. That would be my suggestion with submitting to agents, seeing what you, if you get feedback, try 20 agents, see what you hear back, tweak your query, because, you know, it, there is no specific formula. Every agent has something different to say, and we'll get into what we prefer, but, you know, try out different tones and different ways of describing your book, and maybe, you know, if something didn't work well, switch it up. So I, yeah, that's why I really suggest rounds rather than one big mass. Yeah. All right, I'm ready. Let me do everybody.
Yeah, because, I mean, usually once you've gotten a pass from someone, it's a pass for that project. Sometimes they might invite you to resubmit it, but you want to not burn all your bridges at once. So I agree with doing rounds. And if you are getting a lot of requests and, you know, you send out your full and you're getting same feedback on the manuscript itself, not only do you need to think about adjusting your query, but maybe you need to revise the actual pages again. So it's good to have that feedback when you're going forward.
So, you know, following up with that, you've all spent so many years writing and perfecting your work, right? So why not spend another 3 or 4 months to just query agents? It's well worth your time. And it's actually a good time for you to get some distance from your work too, because, you know, it's a new project now. You're sort of like, I'm done. I'm going to put this away for now, because otherwise you'll just, you know, tinker with it ad nauseum and you'll never be able to send it out. But when you reach that point, I would say then really sort of jump into this universe of how can I find my right match? It's sort of like college ad applications, I feel. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just going through it with my son. So I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like how to query a college admissions
or
person.
Even like job hunting. I mean, like your query is your cover letter, basically. Right. So, you know.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So we know the genre. We've shortlisted we've shortlisted 25 agents, right? I mean, or 10 or whatever, you know, whatever suits your fancy and whatever you're comfortable with. Okay. Next, how do we then attack the pitch? And what do we mean by the pitch? There are several components to the pitch, and we will sort of dissect that almost paragraph by paragraph. And so the first thing, obviously, in that pitch is the letter, and it is a business letter, like both these ladies have said. It's a business letter, but yet because we're in this crazy world of books and publishing, it can't be super cold like corporate business letters or your big CV, right? So there's that sort of big shift. But we can start right from the salutation. Is it a good habit to individualize and greet the agent by their name?
I prefer it. I'm not going to, you know, if you don't, it's not the end of the world, but I do like it, and it, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I think is, you know, for the younger agents, I don't mind. I prefer that you use my name. I don't mind how you do it as long as it's in some sort of salutation. Dear Miss Ross, dear Grace, you know, that's fine. I think some of the older agents are a little bit more formal. And that just goes, you know, what their preferences are. Obviously, I would suggest, you know, erring on the more formal side. But please, yeah, directly to us. I mean, we want to know that you're want to submit to me, you know, to us. So yes, use your name. And I'll just go into my favorite query letter format.
Sure.
So I guess, and we, you know, we can get into this more specifically. But my favorite query letters follow kind of a really simple format, and it's basically like, I want to know in the first paragraph who you are, like your name, what the book is. Is it fiction? Is it nonfiction? What the genre is? And that one-line hook, you know, whatever it is, your log line, we like to call it, just something that's catchy that you know, that can kind of give me just a brief peek into what it is. I want to know if it's complete. I want to know how long it is. I just want some of the basic information in that first paragraph. If it's, you know, you can also put in why you chose me, the agency, just that little introduction. Then it's a synopsis, no more than a paragraph, you know, just like detailed plot points. And then the last paragraph should be your bio. And I want to know everything that relates to you being a writer. And then for me, this is not always the case, but this is my like little secret I like to tell for every kind of query. Always attach 10 pages, first 10 pages, first 5 pages, first paragraph, doesn't matter, at the bottom of your query letter. It always makes or breaks the decision of whether we're going to kind of contact you. And even if, this is not all agents will be happy with me, even if the agency says don't do it, do it anyway. Because, you know, if they're on the fence about your query, like your query letter, oh, this writer sounds really great, that's a great bio, okay, the pitch is great, you know, synopsises are kind of tend to be bland no matter what you do with them. You know, and if we scroll down and we see like the first couple lines and we're like, oh, this is great, we're not going to be mad at you for pasting your, you know, first, you know, couple pages of your manuscript. We're going to be excited. And if we aren't interested, then we aren't interested. So you're never going to really be in trouble for even if it's against their guidelines. I just highly recommend it because that's where your strength is. You guys are writers. That's what we want to see, how you work on the page, whether it's the voice, you know, that opening paragraph. So that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, it's fine. We don't have that issue because, again, we use a form, so you have to paste in sample pages anyway. But I completely understand where she's coming from. So in that case, I will let you not follow the guidelines, even though it drives me nuts. Yeah, I think I'm very similar. I don't mind if you put the basic information at the end or at the beginning. Just make sure it's included, you know, a genre, a word count, that sort of thing. Obviously, your bio. I want to know who you are. And in terms of like your synopsis and pitch, I always think a good place to start if you just are looking at this blank page and you don't know what to write is pick up some of your favorite books and just read the back cover. And like that's basically what I want to know about your book is that information that you would find on the back. So yeah, we can get more specific, but
So in terms of the salutation, I would, I agree with Grace and Serene. I would just use the sort of more formal, the last name, dear Mr. Swami, because, you know, unless you've met the agent, you know, at a conference, I think, you know, using my first name might be a little too informal. I don't mind it, but, and Grace is absolutely right. A lot of the young writers will sort of tend to use first names only because they follow you on Twitter and, you know, they're like social media savvy, right? But for me, I'm a little bit of a Luddite and, you know, and I just prefer dear Mr. Swami. Now, I might write back to you and say, dear Grace, And then, you know, you can respond to me by saying, Dear Priya, right? It's sort of like this implicit, like, okay, you can call me by my name now that I'm responding to you. And then it becomes less informal. But I would just suggest just use Dear Mr. Swami and so on. So the first paragraph, and I think both the ladies have sort of touched upon it. There is some fantastic information on the web, Writer's Digest, lots of agents, and even publishing editors have wonderful hints and advice on how to form, you know, it's essentially a one-page letter, right? And it's imperative that you go to the website of the agency to look for query details. It's super important. And I know Grace just said break that rule, but just be careful. If you really want a particular agent, you're just dying for that. I'm like, oh my God, I would want that agent. Just be careful and, you know, do a lot of research about that agent. And if you find that she or he is kind of okay with you adding a few more pages of information, so be it. But then there are days when we are grumpy. It is a very subjective process. And I might be like, this person doesn't know how to read rules. Well, I'm also an attorney. So then that also sort of, you know, it's just not a good combination for me. but there are a lot of other people who are kind of cool with it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like Grace said, it is your work. So just sort of think about it and don't inundate. It could be literally like, I don't know, 25 lines. That seems compelling from your book, right?
Don't attach things to emails. Right. That's one thing that agents will get really annoyed with. Don't attach PDFs or Word. If you're going to put in the extra material, just paste it below your query letter at the very bottom.
Unless we ask you to.
Yeah, unless we ask you to attach something, don't.
Because like whenever I request something, I ask you to attach it as a Word doc because that's the easiest format for me to read it. And most it drives me nuts when they don't.
Yeah, most agents will want Word docs as well. We don't even allow authors to attach PDFs in our form.
So the first paragraph will be something like, you know, obviously because you've done your research, you're going to say, I reviewed your website or I reviewed your Twitter feed or whatever it is, whatever you've reviewed. And, you know, I would love to send, I'm querying my whatever. And, you know, so sort of that's into your conversation with the agent. So once you have that, and it can be a brief sort of first paragraph as to why you're querying this particular agent, and it really, really, really makes a difference. I think we're all in agreement here. I cannot tell you how many times I've just skipped to that query in my website query box where I'm like, wow, this person really has done their homework, and I appreciate that, and I will absolutely get back to that writer. Whether it's a decline or I want to see a partial, I know this for a fact, versus to whom it may concern. And please don't ever do that. It's just really, because that's your instinct is to delete. Right? I mean, it's sort of like spam mail. And it kind of sucks because you guys have poured your life and work into it. So really do not do to whomsoever it may concern. It's just not good form. Okay, so we're done with that. Now we're into our second paragraph. And the second paragraph is exactly what the ladies have said. Talk about your book. And honestly, I think this is the hardest part about writing a book, writing a brief synopsis. Any words of wisdom on that? Do you prefer, is it easier to write it in first person, present tense? How many adjectives? You know, do we not use so many adjectives because we want to get to the story? Do we need the ending of your book? In fiction, obviously.
Okay, so in terms of how to write it, I like it when the query kind of is in the similar style as what the actual book is. So if, you know, if it's kind of a funny book, I want that voice to come through. If it's serious, same thing. You know, make sure that I know what I'm getting into. And I don't know if we need to know the ending. I don't like if in a synopsis specifically, if I say, what's your synopsis? I want to know the whole thing. But in just your pitch, no, you want me to want to read more to find out what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea, I mean, all agents know it's really hard to write a really captivating synopsis. That's why jacket copy is what Serene referred to, which is on the book back of a book or on the inside flap, is really hard. I do want your, if you're too voicey or having too much fun and you're too vague, it won't give us a sense of what actually happens in the book. So it is really important to have like the key plot moments. I honestly, in a query letter, I think Serene's right. We don't necessarily need to know the ending. And I'm just going to jump ahead quickly, unfortunately. Sorry, Priya. But for in-person pitches, when you guys sit down with agents and we ask you, well, what happens? Tell us.
Yeah.
The number of times an author has just said, oh, well, you're going to have to find out, I'm immediately going to be like, well, I'm not going to read your whole book. So just tell us. That way, because what I want to know is what is the overall narrative arc of your story, right? So your synopsis, think of it this way. We want enough of the full vision of your book to give us a sense of, okay, there's a nice, strong narrative arc. We've got the basic beginning kind of foundation of where, you know, where who your character is, where they're going to go, or what the kind of basic story is, so that we see, even if you're not going to tell us what the ending is, we see that it's going somewhere. That's what I would highly suggest. And, of course, you have to do that in, like, one paragraph, which is really hard, I know. So we know that it's really challenging, and we also forgive you for not, if it isn't, you know, super engaging, that's okay. Synopsis is really hard to do.
I guess it depends. I really do. Like, there is a difference between writing a full synopsis and writing the pitch. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's important to acknowledge, is that not everyone is going to want to see the whole synopsis. But you should still write it out, because you should still be able to clearly explain, like Grace was saying, the full narrative arc. And in the pitch, it's, you want to also focus it. Like, I've received too many that want to tell me about every character and every, you know, plot point that happens, especially when there's multiple threads and lots of points of views. And I understand, and it's hard to narrow it down, but if you can just as succinctly as possible focus, like, this is really the heart of it, and this is what it's about. Don't worry about all the other stuff. We'll find it in the book. It'll come through. Yeah,
Serene's absolutely 100% right. And I just want to make a comment about nonfiction. Queries are slightly different from fiction, because obviously we're thinking about a proposal usually, is what I'm expecting. So for that kind of second paragraph, I tend to look for, as Serene says, the heart of what the nonfiction book is going to be. What's that issue? If it's an issue book, what's that kind of main point that you're making? If it's historical, if it's a biography, who that primary character is, rather than, you know, a plot, like, there's no plot. I don't want a chapter-by-chapter summary in the query letter for nonfiction. I kind of want to know what the heart of your book is. And maybe that might be a question for nonfiction of why you're writing this book, for example, why you're the right person to write this book. So nonfiction, we can maybe go into that in a little bit. Sure. The structure of the query letter that we went over is slightly different. So just be aware of that, and we'll get into that.
Right. So, and, you know, don't forget to include the word count of your project, because it's really quick. I mean, it's a nice thing for the agent to know. Usually, I mean, this is, again, I mean, you know, just sort of listen to this, but you don't have to absolutely now get stressed out about it. But with fiction, sometimes, you know, anything over 100,000 words, right? Sometimes, it really depends on the book, which is why I don't know if I should even mention it, but just, you know, just sort of have that thought aware in there. Yeah.
So I'm going to, unfortunately, I think, be the agent on the panel who's like, break all these rules. if your book, I'm going to tell you, if your book is over 200,000 words, unless you're writing true historical fiction, like, you know, there's no reason for it to be that long. I'm sorry. And now I actually, my agency has two of the big tomes of books that have been published. Shantaram is 1,000 pages. So I get that I come from this place. But with printing costs now and P&Ls with editors, they also, when we pitch books that long, they also immediately hesitate. So know that it goes deeper than just that, like, that number. So, but, you know, so A, think about really cutting your book. Obviously, take the amount of space you need to tell your story, but really cut it. However, if your book is over 100,000 words, probably don't put it in the query, because we'll probably immediately, you know, like, it basically just leave it out, and if we'll ask you, and especially if we request a manuscript, we will know how long it is. We always check that. But if we're into it, it's the thing. If we're into it, it doesn't matter. So that would be, again, my break the rules suggestion.
It's a very good suggestion.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so coming to another sort of important facet of this sort of word count genre, what's called a comparative title. And, you know, in publishing lingo, it's comp title, right? Can you sort of compare your book to either another book, a movie and a book? You know, what can you compare it to? And, ladies, should the comp title be James Patterson meets Dan Brown?
No.
Yeah, not the next Harry Potter, not the, you know, all of that. But we do want something recent also, you know, don't compare to Jane Austen. It just shows us that you've done your homework, you've thought about who the audience is for this book, which goes back to the genre. Like, you're thinking about this book beyond just, like, the very specific story that you're telling. And having another book, I'm fine with comps to TV series or movies as long as there's also one book. And it doesn't have to be the exact same story. It could be my writing style is really similar to so-and-so. And the voice of the main character is a lot like, you know, this guy. But it is helpful. I think they're important.
Yeah, I mean, I would just echo my earlier point of go to your local bookstore. walk to the section that you think your book should be in and look at the recent books that have published in that section. You know, we don't, if you, again, another hint, if you can't think of anybody that's not super famous, like Harry Potter, Dan Brown, Gone Girl, Girl on the Train, don't put it. Just don't even include a comp title because we don't want to see that. It's, that's going to immediately turn us off. The big, you know, we want books that are, that have done well but are not like, you know, the huge super books on your comp titles. So again, I would go and look at what's published recently. Maybe a friend recommended something. Even if we haven't, like, you know, if we haven't heard of it, we'll look it up. And I would highly recommend, again, and buy a book when you're in your local bookstore. But just go and see who else is kind of publishing in that market. Obviously, literary fiction is, as Serene says, you know, much a big category. So compare it to things like the style of your writing or kind of maybe there's a character that is like a character in another book, something like that, because it is such a, you know, such a large category.
Yeah. And then just a tip, and I know we hate Amazon, but I do this all the time. If you search for a book and then at the bottom it's like customers also looked at this, that's a surprisingly helpful way to find other titles that you might not have thought of. So, but then go to your store and buy it, not from Amazon.
Don't go to the Amazon bookstore.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. They're moving into Long Island City, and I live in Long Island City, so I'm really unhappy about it. That's all right.
Okay, so we're done with about two paragraphs or two or three paragraphs. And the final, the last paragraph is your bio. And this is an interesting and a wonderful place to show the agent who you are. So any sort of, you know, things that you love to see in that short bio paragraph, what you don't want to see?
I want to see anything that has anything to do with you as a writer. Really, like, I think I've noticed a lot of writers sometimes don't include really wonderful things. Any prizes I know this is obvious, but prizes you've won, places you've been published, if you've been to any conferences, like anything especially that can beef it up. If you have a really incredible bio, if you've written for some of the top tier magazines or newspapers or things like that, I would even highly recommend you put that at the top to draw our attention and make sure we pay attention and just say, I'm a veteran of publishing, I've published in the New York Times, you know, that is going to catch our attention. If you don't have that kind of platform, that's totally cool, especially as debut authors, we know that, but anything that can help us get a sense of, you know, where you came from as a writer, if you have an MFA, New School, put it in there. It's really helpful. If you know one of the authors or you've met one of the authors at our agency, please mention that. If they recommended you, you know, say you met them at a conference, they recommended you query us, please put that there. Anything that is related to, we don't care about who's going to blurb your book.
Yeah.
That's just a tip. And I know a lot of authors will put that, oh, so-and-so has agreed to blurb the manuscript. I don't care about that at this point in time. I want to see, because usually I'm thinking, well, this is a draft. That person, you know, the editor is really going to be in charge of who they're going to send your book to, connections that the publishing house has. Maybe we'll talk about those people on your list later, but I'm going to ask you for that long after we've submitted the book. The deal is done. Like, that list comes up of who your influencers are. I don't really care.
Yeah, I 100% agree with all of that. But, you know, don't feel bad. If you honestly haven't published anywhere or whatever, just tell me, like, hey, you know, I've got two kids and I love to write and I've been working on this for a long time. And, you know, I've been part of a writer's group and this is what I do. And, you know, I hope you like it. And that's a good enough bio for me. Like, I just want to know who you are. All this other stuff is very helpful. But at the end of the day, like, don't stress out if you don't have that. Your story is what's going to be the most important. So.
And the first line of your manuscript is hopefully right below your bio.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've sort of written that letter, and would you recommend that you send that letter to yourself as a writer or send it to someone you trust implicitly to see how it looks when you receive that letter in your inbox?
Multiple people.
Yes.
Multiple people. And, like, don't look at it for a week and then come back and read it and then send it to your friend and send it to your mom and send it to, you know, your professor, whatever, whoever can look at it. At the very least, they might catch a typo that you missed. So,
yeah, those are things we do pay attention to. Typos in query letters are a big no-no. and weird font sizes, people cutting and pasting the personalized little section to an agent. It happens all the time. We're like, oh, that was a little, and like, I know, we know it is, but it's just kind of not fun to read if that size is 2.5 bigger and a weird different font. So just,
Right. So that was a perfect segue into the don'ts, now that we've done the do's. Okay. Don't make obvious grammatical syntax errors.
Yeah, just take your time with the whole process. We already said, like, you've spent years working on this project. It's okay to slow. Like, yeah, I know you're excited to get it out there, but it's okay to slow down, read your query letter, do your research. Like, this is your first impression. And so obviously you want to put your best foot forward.
Exactly. Don't spell our names wrong.
Yeah.
It happens actually more than you think.
I get Serena all the time. I'm like, it's right there.
Yeah. So I have a really easy name, so not to me, but my colleagues. So
drives me nuts.
Be careful with that.
I'm happy to note that 99.9% of the times people spell my name right. So I think they're like, oh, this is a weird name. Let me just make sure I spell it right.
So,
good. Yeah, okay. So,
our agency is Pondé, which autocorrect loves to change to Panda, which is adorable but very annoying. So, be careful with autocorrect.
Okay. So, should the query letter contain gifts or bribes?
No. No. Somebody sent me a Starbucks card recently, and it was really sweet. And they're like, why don't you go use this card, and you can read my query and my sample chapter while you're having a coffee on me. And it was, like, very awkward because I was, like, and she sent it in the mail, and I was, like, no, I can't. So I had to send it back to her, and I had to add, and it was annoying because I had to add another note saying, no, I can't take this, but don't do that. It's not, we don't like that. It makes us feel really awkward, and then you alienated us from your manuscript.
And I had someone show up, you know, at the office, which, by the way, it's a home office, so this is like my poor boss's home, and this guy comes and he had printed out his book and it had like a little gimmick with it, and I didn't know what to do. I was so caught off guard because you're just like, oh, I thought you were the mailman and you're handing me a book. So don't do that. Respect that in general. You know, we are also people with personal space and, you know, boundaries, you know, that sort of thing.
If you are not great on email, a lot of agencies still accept print submissions, and I highly recommend you do that, again, rather than dropping off in person. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to mail a don't for mailing print submissions, don't mail a flash drive or a CD or something. Please just do it old school. Print out the query letter. Print out the synopsis and the sample material, and include, if you want to hear from us, you have to include an SASE, self-addressed stamped envelope, and most agencies will make that clear on their submissions guidelines so that we can respond to you. We won't, unfortunately, use our own postage to respond to you. So include a big enough envelope if you want us to return your manuscript, for example. If you want to send 50 pages, we will send it back. So I highly recommend, if you're not comfortable on email, you know, you don't have access to a computer. I do know that is sometimes it's an issue. You know, you can mail it, and I highly encourage you to do that. We do consider those just as carefully as our emails submissions.
Okay, so the next point is there's a fine line between demonstrated interest and stalker, right? Recently, I had met with an agent, and she said there was one author who was stalking her because, you know, there's a lot of information available on Twitter, and he started sending her messages, things like, I mean, they were kind of ominous. I know where you live. I know what subway train you take. And she was, obviously pretty freaked out. So just be very mindful of that. And I'm not suggesting anyone in this room has those tendencies. But sometimes, you know, we do tend to get a little overenthusiastic, right?
I mean, those are extreme situations. But even little things, like, I don't want to be pitched on Twitter. That's not what it's for. You know, you might ask me, hey, how do I query you? And I'll say, hey, go do this. My Facebook is a different name, and I've had people find me there. And I'm like, no, this is for my mom to look at pictures of my kid. It's not professional. So just little things like that. Just be aware. Again, we're people who have other lives, and other things going on and need to be able to keep things separate. And a lot of it is also how you do it. Like, I don't mind you following up on your query, but please use the appropriate, like, email channel. Not, again, don't tweet me, be like, hey, have you looked at it? And now I feel really self-conscious because everyone is calling me out on the internet, you know. So,
yeah. I don't know. I would agree. I mean, we really prefer to be reached out. I've had people pitch me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And DM. Yeah. It's not, like, we're not going to pay any closer attention to it, honestly. We have, you know, methods of keeping on top of our submissions and queries through the set channels. And we really prefer you do that. Unless you know me through somebody, there's really no reason to reach out on any social media unless it's through a Twitter contest or in some actually like hosted kind of event.
Yeah.
I'm not on that. So please don't. Please don't reach out on those personal channels. Facebook Messenger, I've had people pitch me on that too. Don't friend me unless you're my client. And then even then, I don't sometimes want to friend them. It really is those are personal spaces for us usually.
Yeah, and again, the way you follow up too is really important. Like, please, you know, be polite about it and acknowledge. Like, I know I'm slow. Like, we're terrible at responding, and I feel horribly guilty about it. So please don't make me feel worse by being like, it's been a year. No, it hasn't been a year. But yeah, just be polite and like professional and just. Yeah.
Oh, on that note, please follow up.
Yes,
actually,
fine with
always.
Following up.
And obviously do it nicely, as Doreen says. But please do. I mean, we're all kind of trying to keep up with stuff sometimes. In fact, I've had that actually make or break when I acquired somebody. I had been sitting on a requested her manuscript, been sitting on it for a number of months and just kind of getting pushed down the pile because I had clients' work coming in, things like that. And she just happened to email me to say, hey, I got an offer to a publication from a small press. Like, are you still considering? And then suddenly I was like, oh, I read it. I loved it. I took her on. It worked out, but only because she had followed up.
Yeah.
Please do it. If you have to do it 5 times,
totally fine.
That's
just be
totally
like polite
fine.
About it.
Be polite and don't do it every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a reasonable amount.
Reasonably.
Of time.
Like once a month is usually a kind of a good, you know, these are full books, especially for fiction. They do take us time to get through them. But don't worry if you have to follow up multiple times.
Yeah.
I highly encourage it. It keeps you on our radar.
And it's fine to just say, hey, just wanted to check in. It's been about a month. You know, any updates you have are great. Or if you have an offer, obviously you should let them know. But maybe you had a short story accepted somewhere or you recently won an award and you just wanted to let us know. Like, that's helpful, too. And also an easy, like, segue to be like, hey, you know, I wanted to let you know about this thing. And then you're on my radar again. And it has helped. Like, I've had a case where I requested something and then somehow I didn't put it on my list of things to read and I just plumb forgot about it. And so she followed up and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, now I'm going to look at it. So technical errors, things can happen. So if you just check in, if you haven't heard back, then it's good.
So on the other side of things, don't, even if you have personal information about the agents, don't ever include that in your queries, pitches, and any communication unless, of course, you're friends with that agent. So on the flip side of it, do you think authors should include their age and photo in the query?
No. Sorry.
No.
No
need.
Photo,
no.
We don't need that. I want to see your writing.
Yeah.
I don't care how old you are, honestly. Actually, there's a really wonderful Delia Owens, I think, Where the Crawdads Sing. Great debut. She's 60-something, and it's her debut book, and it's a bestseller. It was a Reese Witherspoon book club pick, and I was so thrilled. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. We don't, you know, I don't have to know your age at all, unless it's relevant to, like, a nonfiction. If it's a memoir, for example, some sort of nonfiction, and it's somehow relevant information for us to understand your book, then for sure include it, but I don't. I find pictures actually really off-putting in queries, frankly, because it tends to be,
I've received inappropriate pictures.
Yes.
So, I agree.
So.
And, one final don't is sending multiple projects. That's really hard. And there are some writers who have written 3 books. And I'm sure you ladies have had the same experience. I receive 3 queries with the same email address. My instinct is to delete 2 of them because... you know, sometimes it didn't come through. And then I look closely and I'm like, wait a minute, there's 3 books. So what do you think about that?
Yeah.
If it's a series, I think it's all surrounding the same character. I tentatively say it's okay to talk about, you know, talk about all three of them, but really focus on the first one. You know, if you have three separate books, I think focus on one that you think might be the right fit for an agent, and you can mention you have other unpublished works down in your bio. And if we like your writing, we'll, you know, we'll be in contact and we'll ask you. I always ask my writers or somebody I'm talking to for the first time, what else are they working on? And I would highly recommend if you have a short story collection and a novel, please pitch the novel. Because story collections are quite hard, and I know that's a little bit more of a niche thing, and I'd be happy to talk about that more. But for, yeah, really focus on one.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, with the series thing, it's I'm fine with you mentioning, you know, this is a planned series, but your query is for that first book. And you can even briefly say, like, oh, in the next two books I might go into this, but I don't really care. That's a conversation for later. Because even when we get to the point of selling it to an editor, we're still focusing on that one book. Whatever comes out after that, you know, will come out. But, yeah, I agree.
Okay. So we'll just move into the in-person pitch for a little bit. David, how are we on time? Sorry. Mary, how are we on time? Because I know we want to open it up to the... 20 minutes. Oh, okay. So, folks, what do you prefer? Should we open it up to questions and then in that process talk about the in-person pitches? Yeah? Or just... Okay.
Do you have some points?
Okay. All right, fine. So let's just... Yeah, and there's... Right. So there's not a whole hell of a lot to say about in-person pitches, right? Go ahead.
I guess one of the things I always want to with in-person pitches, don't be nervous. I know it's really hard not to be. Please take the time you need. We're really friendly. Yeah. We want to hear about your book. And with those short limited in-person pitches, I think you have to make a choice about what you want to talk about first, right? It is a really small amount of time. And I tend to prefer, for me, if you have something really pertinent in your bio, to start with that, a little bit about who you are as a writer. Very briefly, if it's really, really, if it's, again, recognizable names of magazines, newspapers, things like that, I really like to, you know, hear that kind of up front. And then you can jump into your pitch, but just think about what's going to be, you know, going to be best to front, to highlight first. And it might be that, you know, you're a debut novelist and you don't have much else, you know, and then you'll start with your pitch. But especially if you're writing nonfiction, you might have, again, published shorter pieces elsewhere. I want to know about that first.
Yeah, and I think being aware of the format of the pitch, obviously, you know, what it is. I've been to ones where it's just 3 minutes, and in that case, just give me your 2-sentence description of the book, and then, you know, we'll have like 2 words to say about it, and that's that. But if we have more time, you can afford to spend a little bit longer, still pretty concise pitch. You know, you shouldn't be reading your whole query letter. It should definitely be condensed, and then I'll be able to ask you the questions that I want to know from there. And just, this is, I don't know, a personal thing, but whenever I'm at conferences, I like to be seen as more than just a means to getting an agent or a yes or a no. So if you are talking to me, I want to be helpful and answer questions and, like, be there for you and not just pitched. And then if I say it's not for me, like, you don't want to talk to me ever again kind of thing. Like, yeah. I don't know if I explained that well, but.
No, Serene, Serene's totally right. We are human beings. And that's why I encourage you, as she says, condense your pitch. That gives you enough time for us to ask questions and let us engage. The more we engage, the more we'll remember you. Just think of it this way. Some of these conferences, we get pitched by 40 different writers.
Back to back.
Very intense increments. And if we have a conversation with you where we get to really engage with things that interest us, it's more about that dynamic. Serene says, don't read your query letter. Just give us the log line.
Yeah. And if I do request pages, please do follow up. Like, we're meeting with all these people. A lot of time, I don't have your contact information. Nobody gives it to me. I might not remember your name. I might not even remember your title of the book. But I'll remember, like, oh, hey, I requested this really cool book. Sometimes people don't ever write to me. And I'm like, I don't know. Did they not like me? Did they, you know, go with someone else? Even if I've had people send it to me a year later, which is fine. But right after the conference, just follow up and say, hey, great to meet you. I'm going through some revisions. I'll probably have it to you next year. Now I have your email. Now I can follow up with you, like, just to have that connection. Yeah.
And always mention where you met us, if you talk to us, which conference.
And include your query. And
It just is really helpful because some agents go to many conferences a year. And so if you just say, hey, it's so great, I heard you on a panel, and I'm going to be like,
which one?
Which one? I have no idea.
We're all over the place.
Yeah, so. what context it was in. Yeah.
What do you feel about handouts? Should authors have handouts?
No. Don't want to carry anything else around.
Yeah, exactly.
You carry around so much paper.
It's fine. Like, again, it depends on the formatting. Like, I've had 10-minute long conversations. It's fine if you hand me the pitch while we were talking about it, and I can kind of reference it or whatever. That's okay, but I'm probably not going to take it and carry it.
Okay. Well, we're opening it out to questions, so I think I will definitely get to you. I promise the lady in front had a... I think you had a question. Do we do mics or just... Oh.
Grace, you mentioned that a pitch for a literary fiction is a little bit different and that you'd go into that later. So if you could do that.
I'm just going to repeat the question because I don't think some people heard. Leslie asked about the pitch for literary fiction and how is that different or slightly different?
I think I would worry, again, for that, less about trying to squeeze it into a genre. If you think your book is literary fiction, you can just say that. And in particular for me, with literary fiction, I'm less interested in the plot of your story than I am in the actual writing and your voice on the page. And again, like core themes and what's at heart. So the synopsis in those cases, it doesn't really have to be, or the little description in your query. I want to know big major arcs, but I don't need it a different way. If I'm reading a pitch for a thriller, I need to know a little bit more clearly what the kind of the early plot points are to give me a sense of where, what's going to happen in the thriller. But for literary fiction, I think it's you can be a little bit more free with some of those elements in the query, especially if there's a character and situation, that's going to describe it. Because I'm probably honestly, I'm going to skip to your sample material. I'm going to skim some of the earlier things. I'm going to hit your bio. I'm going to read the opening paragraph, maybe the whole sample thing, and then I'm going to go back and reread what happens. Because for me, literary fiction is all about can this manuscript hold itself on the page in terms of its prose?
And Grace just mentioned something that we didn't really bring up before, but major themes, especially in literary fiction, is really nice. Be like, this has themes of, family and whatever. Just putting in that, because you're going to have that in mind when you look at the sample pages, is useful.
Okay, I think the gentleman in the black sweater, and I promise we'll get you guys.
I'm Grace Serene. Thanks so much for coming out this morning and sharing advice. I really appreciate it. So I've gotten mixed advice on the following question. I'm really keen to know what you guys think. So I've had an agent read the full manuscript. It should be two. And I've gotten one of those heartbreaking letters where they say, really love this, but I can only take so many debut literary novels. And what I'm wondering is, when I query now, should I include, if there's a sentence or two of really nice things that they've said, should I include that when I query for you? Does that say...
I don't need that information.
I don't really need it either, but as a interesting hint, it is helpful to know that agents have requested the full manuscript. That is something that you might mention, not in a cocky way, and not like, again, I don't think you need to really like linger on it, but it is useful to know, a couple of different agents have requested this, I've done some work, and then in what you responded to, I've done some major revisions on it or whatever, but ultimately we're going to fall in love with your manuscript whether or not someone else has read it or not. And yeah. I mean, and I think it's really finding an agent, just as a last point, we really have to have a lightning bolt that's kind of how I think about it when we read something. And a lot of times something is good or we're interested, but we don't really have that kind of, I've fallen off a cliff, totally head over heels, because that's how hard it is on our side to really champion something. We have to really fully believe in it. So I've seen books that have been, you know, rejected by 20, 30, 40 different agents and then go on to get really big book deals because they found that one perfect agent. So don't give up, honestly, on it. But it's not, again, like blurbs, it's not really helpful for us to hear necessarily what another agent has said. If we call you, we'll ask you what work have you done on it, but, right. Yeah.
Okay, I think there were some hands up here. Yes, sure.
I'm wondering if we get really inspired from this conference and want to do some querying on Monday morning. Is this a good time of the year to be querying?
Great question.
So if our agency is closed to queries, for example, and you'll see that by going to our website and finding out. But in the past, when we have been open at the end of the year and you queried and I say, hey, this looks really good, can I have the manuscript? Heads up, I'm probably not going to look at it until, you know, January or something. But it's still there. So, you know, personally, I think it's fine.
Yeah. But. Personally, I found I get a lot of queries right after the day after a conference ends. I would wait like a week. And I also think of it this way. A lot of people query right after holidays. They've just had a lot of time. So you're going to be inundated. You're going to be part of a larger pot. So sometimes middle of the week is, you know, just think of it that way. Also, our authors are revising and writing as well. They also get a lot of work done over holidays. So our authors, they tend to kind of submit to me around those times too.
I'm going to give you a little insider tip. Agents are really busy pitching to publishing houses come September, October. And we work on a very sort of tight schedule. So it's literally, you know, we have to get it in September through maybe just before Thanksgiving, and then it sort of shuts down. And then we're back pitching again the second week of January into about May, June. So that's our cycle. So if you want to really hit an agent and get full eyeballs, you know, you might have to work around that a little bit. And, of course, look at their website and see what they're doing if they're, you know. So that's just something for you. Okay. Yes.
Just a nitpick question. If my title is still tentative, should I mention that in the query letter or just, like, put my working title in for now?
How do you mean sensitive?
Tentative.
Oh, sorry.
I'm so sorry. That's my fault.
please do.
Yeah.
I would just say working title or tentative.
Or tentatively called.
Awesome.
You know, especially if it's not, like, a great title. Then I want to know that you're open to changing it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we'll get... I think there was a gentleman back there.
Yeah, thank you all for being here. I actually had a question that I thought we'd mention. In the query letter itself, do you like when social media presence, website, connections, et cetera, are included? Or is that something that you think is, I guess, post the falling head over heels for the manuscript question?
I think if you're writing nonfiction and you have a really big platform and it's relevant to your book, please mention it. And you've got a large following on your blog and you're writing a cookbook, like that's useful information. If it's just fiction, I kind of like if you have a website, include your link, you know, and your signature, your Twitter handle if you're really active on Twitter and it's big for you. Because I'll probably go look, but it's not like make or break.
Totally agree. Honestly, for nonfiction too, if you're, the numbers are quite high now for platform. So if you're not in the multiple thousands, like 20,000 plus on your platforms, it doesn't, you know, we don't really need to know that until later.
Next question. Yes.
So a question. You kind of mentioned how things are a little different, obviously, from literary fiction to, like, say, suspense. Does that give any more leeway in terms of, like, that one graph or, like, a two graph to make sure that you're kind of getting, like, a progression or, like, I've also gotten a lot of good feedback on my query, but I also get totally opposite feedback of, like, we'll give a little more than that graph or keep it a graph.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I would just attach a synopsis or, like, offer it to send a synopsis. We give that option on the agency as well. But I don't, Yeah, I think it just depends. Every it's agent tough. Is different.
You're yeah. Like, it's like a super subjective industry yeah. for better or worse. So it's like what works for me isn't going to, I don't know. That's, yeah. that's tough.
Yeah, I can sort of follow up and say if I'm interested in that once in that one paragraph, I'll write back to the author and say, can you send me the full synopsis with the ending? Yeah. So you'll get a response if that first the first paragraph grabs the agent. Okay, more questions? Yep. Yeah.
Is it okay to just always say dear miss and because you don't know if the person is married?
Sure, dear miss Doroswami, dear miss.
Or are you like?
No. And I prefer, like, I don't want to be, because Mrs. Hakim is my mom. That's not my married name. Right. So it's, like, not the same.
I think, sorry.
I was going to say, when in doubt, just do my full name. Do Serene Hakim.
There we go.
You know what I mean? Like, don't even bother.
Yeah.
And then I'm fine, you know.
Yes, exactly. When in doubt. That's perfect. Yes, we'll get to you. Sorry. The lady in the blue. Yes, certainly.
Yeah. Follow up.
Okay. And I'm sort of piggybacking off of that. You mentioned, you know, only focus on one agent per agency. Say I write something new and I haven't heard anything back, you know, a year down the road, is it okay to send something to a different agent at the same agency?
Yeah, I mean, if you followed up, I don't know.
Usually
we respond.
But, right. If it's a different genre, if you're writing, you know, you've done thrillers and you're writing literary fiction.
And you can say, I've queried you in the past, but I have this new project that I thought you'd be interested in.
I think that's fine. I think we totally understand if you say, I queried your colleague in the past about an older project, but I've got a new one that I think is a really great fit for you. Here's why.
Yeah, that's
why.
A good way of saying it, yeah.
Yeah.
The gentleman in the gray?
Hi. You mentioned books that may be over 100,000 words, but what about if you have a book that's like 60,000 to 70,000 words on the slightly shorter side? Do you have any recommendations about that?
Like, it depends on the genre and the age group. If it's like young adult or children's books are obviously going to be shorter. If it's literary fiction and it's on the shorter side, I don't know.
That's... Yeah, I mean, I only get nervous with literary fiction if it's shorter than 50,000 words, because then we're getting into novella territory. And I kind of am concerned that it's not fleshed out quite enough. But if it's over 50,000 words, you're totally fine. That's the sweet spot. You wear 60 to like 80 is a sweet spot 80. Usually for most genres.
Yeah. Okay. The lady in the crimson?
And, well, with all nonfiction, if you've got a proposal, that requires sample material anyway. So, you know, we want to see that. Yeah.
Right. The lady back here.
Yeah, just building on that, do you have preferences related to pitching and querying memoir versus other nonfiction and fiction?
I don't do memoir, so I'll let you check that.
You know, I think memoir breaks my heart all the time. For all you wonderful memoir writers, I think don't lose heart. Keep trying. If you are not famous, to be really blunt, there are two types of memoir that work. You are either a celebrity, you have a huge platform, you have a some sort of company that is, you know, recognizable that you're writing on, or some sort of topic that you, as a journalist, you've kind of had a beat on, or your memoir has to stand on its prose. In which case, your query should really feel like a fiction query, in that I want to know, like literary fiction, I want to know like the tone, the themes, a little bit of maybe your bio, and then, we want to see the sample material to know that you can write, because there's, you know, there's no in-between with memoir. It just doesn't sell unless you're an absolute incredible writer, And in which case, think I would all, well, I can get into memoir suggestions later.
We have 5 more minutes, so a couple more questions, please. Okay, how about the lady in the front, and I'll get you in the back. The question was, should she's writing literary fiction, and should she paste the first couple of pages of her book in the query?
I prefer the first pages, but if you have a section that's really strong in the middle, maybe include the first, like, 5 pages, and then say, and I want to show this section, and include that. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I'd start from the beginning. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to be really confused. I'll be able to see the way you structure your sentences just from those first paragraphs. And I think, you know, if we're interested, we'll ask you, and then you can, you know, follow up. And if we say, especially if we're like, oh, we want to see the first 50, you can say, actually, like, I'll send you the first 50, but there's a great middle section I'd love to send you that's a great scene or something. Then we'll say, sure, you know.
There was a question in the back, I think. Yep, go ahead.
Any added advice for fiction based on country
story? Can you repeat that?
I mean, I think is it based on, like, you know, something that happened in history? Like, that's worth mentioning, you know, inspired by the whatever. Yeah, I think it's, just mention it. But you still want to focus on the story.
Yeah. Done a lot of research. It's also helpful to know. If you've traveled to a country you're writing about, do you mention that in your bio? It's helpful.
Yeah.
And the lady in the red back there had a question. Yep.
If you're writing a mystery novel, is it appropriate to include the introduction if it sort of alludes to something that's going to happen later in the novel, and then also have, like, that first chapter page as well in terms of, like, sending in the first few pages? Or is introduction not necessary?
Ooh. I have a great – if you have a really funky prologue that is at the beginning of your book that's kind of a weird device-y thing – I actually find it doesn't give me a really good sense of what the whole book is going to be like. I had this issue with somebody who did a really experimental prologue that was 15 pages, and I had already decided to turn it down before I even got to the normal narrative part. Start with chapter 1, unless your prologue is, you know, again, like, I would just highly, I think about starting with chapter 1, honestly. I've had trouble getting into things because the prologue is this weird, device-y thing. And out of any context, you're like, what?
I think we have time for one more question. Go ahead.
I have two, but the first one is just a yes or no. The first one being, you know, I've heard about the recommendation of, you know, finding agents through, like, books you've read and the acknowledgments. You mentioned that in the query letter.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And then the other question I had is around comp titles. I struggle with that because I wonder, like, what if you were in that experience, you're writing something because you feel like you haven't seen it. Like, you're writing, like, a lot of people say, like, they're writing because they want to read it, and they're not seeing that, and I'm struggling to figure out, like, what would be a comp title for something I'm writing. And another, you know, angle of that also is, like, I feel like there's lesser known books, and it's like, I want to say that I'm doing that.
So I think that that's maybe something interesting to mention in your bio. Like, you know, I grew up in this community, and I've been looking for a story that highlights this, and so I wanted to write this novel. That's enough for me to know that you feel like you're saying something different. Please don't say there's no book out there like this.
Yes.
And if you, I'm sure you can find something. You say, like, this is pretty similar to, you know, Sarah's book, but the writing is very evocative of X famous writer, whatever. I think that would be you don't want to say this is better than, you know, or like whatever.
You're inspired,
I don't know.
By something.
Yeah.
And when in doubt, just don't include it. It's not compulsory.
Well, think of it this way. As agents, we have to place your book in the market when we submit to publishers. So you're honestly, I mean, I know every book is its own and unique, wonderful baby, and we value and treasure it. But, you know, you have to fit into a market. A publisher has to do a P&L, profit and loss, on the projected sales. And that's how much money you're going to get in your advance. It's literally they take two examples, they look at how much they sold, then they make a financial graph, and that dictates like the contract in essence. So you will always be placed in context of other books. So it is helpful if you can start that process with us. But if you can't, just don't include it. We'll do a lot of that work as well.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry we have to sort of conclude. But I'm not sure if you ladies are here, or I'm not sure what the next sort of program is, but, you know, maybe, I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank